It's a delight to sit in with you on Friday night in the captain's chair in for George Norrie tonight. John Wales with you, and Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller are with us, and they're first time guests, and we're having a nice time. And I can just hear the Emperor. This rebellious rabble calling themselves constitutionalists will be no problem. We'll crush them and make them our slaves. To which we respond, what? I don't think so. Light at the end of the tunnel. More of your calls coming soon. Stand by for our final hour of the Friday night edition of Coast to Coast AM. Well, Dan and Stephen, I guess you didn't really know when you picked up the phone that you were going to wind up sitting here for 4 hours, did you?
it's all good.
John. Well, hanging with the best of people is never time wasted.
Well, you know, this is a noble pursuit. And, you know, I was making fun a while ago. I handled the gig with a little bit of levity, it seems, but, you know, not really. This is a profoundly important issue. And there sure are a lot of jumpy people in the security services. So, and all this ammunition being purchased and all these drones flying all over the place. And you got Agenda 21 running concurrently with NDAA. And then Soros has got this thing. I can't call the name of it right at this moment. I'll look it up and qualify it here in a minute. I've mentioned it before, but it's basically a nice little infusion of socialism right at the local level. And most people have never heard of it. And we'll do an expose on that before long. But, I mean, it's there are some people out there with a lot of money who are, again, just trying to concentrate their power. So that leads me to this question, which is you must be tracking the global financial situation. And we see that there is actual, you know, stuff being set on fire in the streets in a couple of countries, Spain and Greece. There, people are upset. And what does your crystal ball say about us and when?
Well, everything that's going on right now, I mean, according to my research, which is pretty intensive, with some pretty very intelligent people, more so than myself, it's a ruse that's going on right now. So you got the global IMF, International Monetary Fund, in league with the UN and NATO and everybody else. They're all buddies. They know, and they're forcing people to accept, trying to force them to accept this one world order, new world order, however you wish to phrase it, and the International Monetary Fund's idea of, well, you know, we have to have a global currency. Well, we all know that Iceland, correct me if I'm wrong, they said no, they kicked all that stuff out.
That's right.
So, yeah, okay, so I was right on that name, that country, rather. So, and that's what's going on. And then you got Greece and, you know, Germany and, well, Germany, I love the Germans, okay? I'm not going back to World War II, but they were just listening to some idiot. Same way our countrymen are listening to idiots in Washington right now. But I'm talking about modern-day Germans. They're not putting up with it. They said, no, we're not going to work to we're 75 to pay for everybody's, you know, retirement in Greece. They retired 10 years earlier than us. So the world, thank God, is waking up, because Americans are a little bit behind the eight ball compared to Europe and China. China is totally in chaos right now. Let me explain something about World War III, because there's a lot of fear about that. China is not ready for a world war, and they won't be for several years. They don't have a good navy. They don't have a blue water navy to speak of. I hear it's propaganda. They have a couple ships off the coast of California, et cetera, et cetera. This is just fear-mongering, okay?
Just preparing for a UFO assault, of all things.
Yeah. Yes. I would believe that much quicker than in China.
I'm telling you, I'm not gonna poo-poo any idea. I'm not gonna say what absolutely positively can never be a hit. You know what I mean?
I believe more so in the UFO than China, because I understand the political science behind China. They have a propaganda army called the People's Liberation Army that can be taken out with a couple of tactical nukes from an F-16. So they're not even a threat. But they use that fear mantra against Americans. Like, we're going to be invaded. No, we're not. That's a lie. China doesn't have a decent navy. So that's a lie. But no fear there. Our biggest fear right now should be Iran. Iran's hugely powerful. They can wipe out many of our ships over there because they fire so many. You wouldn't believe the power Iran has thanks to Russia.
Well, yeah, the Russians have been working on stuff for a long time, and they sell it, you know?
Yeah. And then they have Russia working over here on our military bases. The numbers are exaggerated and lied about. They say there's 20,000. Oh, it's crap. Excuse my language. I'm sorry.
I've heard worse. Trust me.
Okay. But in reality, there's only handfuls of Russian troops, and they're breaking protocol, and that's a whole other show. But so it's actually pretty much all good news. This sounds nutty. And all bad news for the Illuminati, the Bilderbergs, you know, all these big shot Rothschilds, and name them all. It's bad news for them. They're coming to an end. But the beautiful part is that's the truth, okay? And it's provable and weighable and measurable. The scary part is there's going to any birthing, like Dan said earlier today when I talked to him, I think it was is painful. And we're birthing into something new. And but right now they're controlling us with the most basic human instinct, and that's fear. And that's a bigger weapon than anything they've got in the... Their little bag of tricks is fear.
What you going to say, Dan?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're very right with control. And you're very right as well as the talking about the birthing is always painful. It's not
that
a matter.
That was your terminology. Yeah.
I will say this on the record for sure. And you quote me on this forever. It is not a matter of whether the American people will win against the tyranny. It's a matter of how long.
It's just when, it's when. And I don't think it's very far away. I mean, it's just my opinion. I don't think Barack Obama or Valerie, Jared or whatever. I don't think these Bolshevik communist people who really believe they're doing the right thing have to understand. They have children and families and houses and bank, Swiss bank accounts, and they think that's the way everybody is supposed to be, and that people like us, the ill-informed masses, should just, submit. And they think they're doing the right thing. If you actually met some of these people, they're actually nice people. This is going to blow your mind. The guy that just brought me dinner, he brought me dinner to my door. He's a retired TSA agent. Nicest person you've ever met. I'm not kidding. I do everything for him. But he's totally abjectly abhorred by what they're doing. In fact, he ended up quitting from some of the stuff he had to do. So, in other words, TSA is a bad thing. NSA is a bad thing. The guys at Fort Meade listening to us right now is a bad thing. But 80% of the people doing the work are just like you and I. They have a mom and a dad and a kid and a dog, and they're in the middle of it. And I'm just praying beyond hope. And it's going to happen. I'm just wishing it would speed up a little bit because I'm not getting any younger. I don't want to go to my grave. I don't want to go to my grave thinking that I failed the children and the elderly people.
That'd be a pretty tough one to chew, wouldn't it? We got an international call here. Is that Anil in Ontario?
Anil.
I got it wrong, man. I'm sorry. I thought it was very French. I thought it was Anil, with an I.
No, that's okay. Thank you for taking my call. I've been very interested in this topic for some time, and I wanted to ask how the NDAA and how its relation is to NASARA, the National Economic Stabilization and Restoration Act, which was supposed to be implemented originally back on 9/11, and was, that was... Many say it's a false flag, and that was what prevented it from being implemented. And as a result, it's this the NASARA Act that is supposed to bring back, our civil liberties to the American people and, of course, to the world, because it is the American, freedom that what the rest of the world strives for. Me being a Canadian, I fully understand our link between, Canadians and Americans are pretty much joined at the hip, and one can't do without the other. And you know, NDA is a very scary thing for people if they really research it. But I mean, tonight's call has been very enlightening in that, you know, we the people do have the power, and the fear mongering is slowly, eventually going to not get anywhere in the people's mind as long as they awaken. The problem is not enough people are awakening. And I just want to know what, like, Nasara, its implementation is supposed to, you know, change everything, even the whole money system, you know, the Federal Reserve System, and everything is going to just, you know, fall by the wayside. And we might be finally free from this tyranny that's been taking place for, what, 200-300 years now, since 1700s.
If I can say something about the money system?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, what's going to happen is, and this is going to happen by next spring, and this is based on very, you can Google this or whatever you call it, and we search it on a search engine. What they're going to do is, the Federal Reserve, they're slowly going to, they're not going to abolish them, which would be a great thing. And I pray that Ron Paul gets in and does just that. But I just don't see it happening. I'm realistic. But I do. But they are going to phase it out. And they're going to go to a U.S. Treasury dollar. I've already seen banks already have it in their vault. So this is a real thing.
And banks already have it in their vaults?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
They're prepared for the crash. But the bad thing is, if you have $20,000 in the bank, which I don't, I'm pretty poor, but I'm just an example, hyperbole, if you will. If you have $20,000 in the bank with a U.S. Treasury dollar, you're going to find you only have $7,000 in the bank, and a jar of peanut butter is $12 if you can get it. That's the problem. And then they're going to have another currency, digi money, called the special drawing right. That's already done. It just hasn't been mailed out to everybody. Now, and at this point, the government we currently have will be all underground. They'll be gone. And we'll be struggling. We'll be struggling to make sure a bunch of guys like Dan Johnson and Ron Paul are president and vice president. That's what I'm hoping for.
I'll be Secretary of Defense.
That's fine by me.
In fact, I might even be Secretary of Offense.
Yeah, I'll even send you a free shot.
I hope by the time that stuff happens, I might actually be old enough to hold an office.
Dude, I would vote for you in a New York minute and take my Texas time doing it.
Say. All right, you heard it. That's an endorsement. We'll be watching you, Dan. Okay? Hey, Wildcard John in Portland, you've been holding for a while. Are you still there?
I'm still here. Thanks for taking my call.
Excellent. Thanks for holding so long. Welcome.
Yeah, forgive me, I got a bad cough. They've been spraying us over here, you know.
What are they spraying you with? What are they spraying you with? We talking chemtrails here, or what are we talking? Uh-oh. He's gone.
They didn't like that comment.
I think they must have opened the Bombay doors and just dumped a bunch of it on him.
Hey, can I expand on the chemtrails real quick? Because this goes hand in hand with NDAA, the chemtrails. And I talked to A.C. Griffith about this one night for hours until he hung up on me. But literally, he was tired. He's an old man. Older than me. The chemtrails, if you notice, because I live near Detroit, they're always over the major metropolitan areas. I mean, as far as, you know, on Moss, huge. Why are they doing this? It's a missile defense system. Okay, and they know some will get through. Okay? And then and herein comes the NDAA. So what they do is the chemtrails, when they electrify the ionosphere with HARP, okay, the High Altitude Rural Research Program, when they fire up the ionosphere, high temperatures, well, no missiles can pass through it, so it destroys them. It will cause electromagnetic pulses, no electricity, but most of the populous centers are saved. Problem is, we're still going to lose 7 to 8, according to my inside sources. They're, you know, colonels and stuff. So you're going to have tens of millions of people that are begging for food and shelter, and that's where FEMA comes in. That's where the NDAA comes in. because they don't need a warrant, to carry out these executive orders. And there's more to the chemtrails. I could go on for 4 hours. I've studied this since like 89. I've studied chemtrails.
You know, I spoke with a pilot recently that he's flown all kinds of things. And he mentioned fuel dumping. And I thought, I don't think it's fuel dumping, not in patterns like that, you know.
That's a total BS.
It's not fuel dumping. Absolutely.
It's aluminum sulfate, which is a salt, but it's aluminum, so it's a heavy metal. So it's making everybody sick, including us. If you haven't got a blood test right now, you'd have heavy metals in you. The remedy for that is distilled water. I drink about a gallon and a half of water a day. And then there's different salts, which are the elixir of life. And you can study that through Santos Bonacci, one of my buddies I study law through. It gives you these elixirs of life that are found in the Bible. The Bible does have some really good stuff in it. It's a great book. It's just but they preach it the wrong way. But back to the point at hand, I lost my train of thought. Help me, would you?
Happens to me all the time. Dan, you can jump in there if you want to.
I can't really touch on that too much. I mean, he's talking about there's obviously chemtrails are obviously trying to spray
chemtrails. Thank you. Okay, so
in the air, you're welcome.
Yeah, I was getting into the chemical composition on the periodic table.
I'm hearing barium. I'm hearing aluminum oxide. All kinds of, somebody's even alleged that there are biotics in it as well, but you know, there's been no blockbuster expose, you know.
Well, there's 750 patents, and they range from everything from rearranging our DNA to depopulation, to missile defense. Now the barium salt, it's called barium salt. Now, that's for the radiation from Iraq, Fukushima, Chernobyl. It's called the Getter. Yeah, this is what they call it in the military. This is what they use to absorb radioactive isotopes. And that's a lion's share of most of the chemicals you're seeing. And then the aluminum, and I can't think of the other one. I'm sorry. I'm tired. But that's the ones that are used for the missile defense because they want to save as much as they can. Now, the chemical weapons... that they will do themselves, I believe. I don't think it will be our enemies, unquote. In other words, so they want the population centers pretty much emptied out, but preserved, and then whatever the pole shift doesn't take out and the coronal mass ejection, the Carrington event, if you will, the Queen of England, the Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, and these power elites that claim ownership of the planet, well, they want their derivatives reimbursed. And yeah, I have to understand something. The BP oil disaster, which I worked on that, the Horizon project, as one of the advisors, and I told them it's not stoppable, and they got pissed at me and stuff. I said, let me explain something to you. And they hung up on me, and they threatened my life, and I ended up having to move back to Michigan from Florida. But I said, let me explain something to you. All the real estate from Florida all the way around the bend to Texas is financed through derivatives. And guess who that money's owed to? The Queens, okay, and the Pope.
Dude, this is some extraordinarily heavy stuff. I mean, you actually got a dude out of me just then. All right. Listen, this is extraordinary little conversation that we're having with Dan and Steven, and we'll be back for our final segment in just a moment. This is Coast to Coast AM. Thanks, sir. I'm glad to be in with you tonight. Sitting in the captain's chair, and George Norrie just decided to take the evening off. And Lord knows he deserves it, because this is just the first half of the Zombie Jombie weekend. We're going to do Agenda 21 tomorrow, but right now, tomorrow night, rather, will be tomorrow for, it'll be day after, never mind. we're going to continue with our final segment here. Dan Johnson, Stephen Miller. There's no possible way we could have gotten into all the stuff that we have gotten into without just keeping them with us for a while. And they were very gracious to accept the invitation. Just hang for the whole show. We got a few of your calls left to go and some great callers tonight. And so let's get this last little break over with and get back into it. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stand by, please. Wells here, Paul, east of the Rockies in Winchester, Virginia. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, excellent. Thank you very much for hauling.
Before I illustrate the couple points of where these nefarious laws are coming from, I just want to point out that I saw on YouTube that there was a watchdog, a person that did a forensic on that that film that it was called the Innocence of Muslims.
Oh yes.
And he traced it back to when it was written one title, and then he traced it back to when it changed titles, and when it changed titles, traced it back to a company called Stanley Consultants in Arlington, Virginia, and they're a client. This is DOD and State Department. Okay. So anyway,
that's a good one.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. Anyway, I'm an architect, and I was in May in D.C. for a convention, and I was at a seminar that was taught by the ambassador to Finland, U.S. ambassador to Finland, and he was very. He was talking about sustainable energy with embassies. And he was very empathetic and very, you know, he was quite passionate about it. So I took the liberty to talk to him after the seminar. And what I did is I said, okay, look, I don't mean to be accusational, but over 1,000 patents have been confiscated by the government. These are patents that just save us energy, that, you know, 100 miles per hour or 100 miles per gallon carburetors, water engines, et cetera. 32 families of inventors have been harassed. 5 of those inventors have either lost their lives or disappeared. And he held up his hand and he said, I know what you're talking about. And I said, tell me that the United States isn't powerful enough to fight these entities. And he said, we're not. He said, don't look for the U.S. government to do anything with policy regarding energy. They'll talk about it, but we can't do it. We are not powerful enough. Those people are too dangerous. And that was
which people?
Well, apparently the energy cartel. And, you know, this is coming from the U.S. ambassador to Finland. And he actually opened up and confirmed my suspicions that, you know, it's not a conspiracy. It is real. And, you know, on the second point, John and Dan, the source of these laws is our corporations. And, John, you know, I talked to you earlier, and I got caught off, but one entity that is putting together these laws for corporations is called ALEC. It's the American Legislative Executive Commission. And it was set up by the Koch brothers in the 80s, or actually in the 70s. And what it is they got high-powered lawyers. They meet every 6 months with corporation people and with legislators. And what they do is they set up these laws that are friendly to the corporations. And then they pass them on to legislators, and legislators put their name on it. And
gotcha.
Such laws are, for instance, the union busting laws in Wisconsin and
yes.
Ohio, and also the laws that have to do with communications that have reduced our freedom.
Now I got a quick question for you. Has this required a lot of study? You got a lot of information here. Are you data mining all the time? And if you are you passing this information along to people who will hopefully raise awareness about these things? Or are you keeping it all to yourself and saving it up for Coast to Coast?
John, this started, we were not in March of 2010.
Yep.
It started out with watching Ancient Aliens, and it turned out that I wanted to be, my hobby was the truth. And I spent a lot of time going through, and it's all interrelated. Energy, UFOs, extraterrestrials, the control, the elite, the Federal Reserve, it's all interrelated. It's one big mess.
Thank you very much for your call. That was quite enlightening. Either you fellas, Dan or Stephen, want to amplify anything that he said? Other than the fact that it's all controlled from the top, it's all money-based, and that's it.
I mean, it's like hamburgers, which is the only analogy I can give it that's simple and easy to understand for everybody. If I'm selling hamburgers at McDonald's, and I've got millions of cattle out in the field, and all of a sudden somebody like me comes out, and I'm selling hamburgers for a penny, and they're healthier, and now my millions of cattle are costing me a fortune to maintain and hire, you know, employees, well, of course you're going to harass that guy. I invented an evaporator carburetor. There is alternative energy, but the juxtaposition is it's in people's garage anymore because the big companies don't want anything to do with it. My brother is an executive at Ford. And he's very disgusted with it because they're in bed. Okay, I'll just give you an example. And my mom has a Ford Escape, brand new 13. Okay, well, these things are tuned down. They're designed to get the fuel mileage they get. With a few tweaks with the computer under the dashboard, okay, and the proper carburation system, which is available right now. I can put one in myself. You can get 300 miles to a gallon, and they know it. It's factual. Go on YouTube and look at the kid on there that put the carburetor system in his V6 SUV. He's getting 250 miles to a gallon. So it is happening, but on a private sector level, you know.
Any data on what it does to his engine?
Like they run really well. The only difference is you have to use a 10-20 synthetic oil because you're not getting the lubrication like when you vaporize gasoline, for example, through your carburetor, which it vaporizes it into like a fine powdery mist. Well, that actually acts like a lubricant because that's what gasoline is. But when you use just fumes, like the fumes you can smell around a gas station,
right.
Well, that lubricant's not in there when it combusts. So you have to use a very thin synthetic oil, but since the oil doesn't get dirty, and you don't need a catalytic converter now, you don't need a carburetor now, you don't need a gas tank, a fuel pump. So it's actually an amazing thing. You can build one yourself for like $50.
Well,
put it in your car, a very safe one.
Nothing would surprise me. It really wasn't. Do we still have a Skype call there, Charles in Sacramento? Charles on the Skype line.
Hello, yes.
Hey, Charles, how are you? Thanks for holding on so long, brother.
Wow, great, man. It's awesome to get through finally. Dan, Steve, and John, it's great to be on. I just wanted to talk about, you guys hit on everything that I wanted to talk about, you know, the fear and all of that. And even on HAARP, I was wanting to ask questions about that. But right now we have something, and I almost think that it's like a social experiment. I deal a lot with psychology, you know, and I see the effects of psychotropic medications and the treatment of depression and all of this stuff and how it plays on our empathy and how we just kind of end up not caring. But anyway, in Stockton, the police have pretty much said, here in California, Stockton, California, the police have pretty much said that they're not going to respond to any calls that deal with, you know, anything minor, and that they will respond if somebody's life is at risk. And, you know, I think this really plays back on the fear part, and I think that we have a whole system that is just, I don't know, I lose a lot of faith because I I see the way that our children are taught, and I see how we're kind of brainwashed. And then I served 9 years in the military myself, so I'm kind of paranoid because I've seen what people can do when they be, you know, when they get into groups. But you know, we keep our prisoners segregated, and we perpetuate this problem throughout society. But you know, I'm really concerned that this thing in Stockton is really going to, you know, I think it's like a test to see if people will start a civil war. I just kind of wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
What do you think the chances are of some sort of a, certainly, I mean, unrest is not uncommon. People have been striking and marching and rioting, you know, not huge ones like the LA riots, although they've gotten their more than their fair share of them. But what do you think the chances are of having something like that? Do you think when it really hits the fan, people will just calm down and deal with it, or do you think they'll flip out on a huge level?
Flip out.
To answer your question, John, it depends on how many people we wake up and how many people are prepared by that point. But if SH were to TF, or S were to HTF tomorrow,
yep,
then there would be massive rioting in the streets. There'd be people getting together and looting grocery stores. There would be it'd be mass chaos.
You know, the thing that gets me about this, didn't mean to step on you there, we're running out of time, and I'd talk to you for two more hours. I don't know if you'd go for that, but I would. With these new notes, whatever they may be, already in the banks, as Stephen pointed out a while ago, so I suppose that means that it doesn't really matter if you pull a little cash out of the bank and keep it in a cigar box somewhere. You won't be able to use it?
It'll be worthless. And I'll tell you why. Because what people aren't getting, and I talk to people every day, at least 10 or 15 people a day, and they're all, I'm saving silver. I'm saving gold. I say, well, what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with it? You're acting like there's still going to be an active government that'll say, yeah, here, give me your gold. Here's some rice. No, it's all over with. The system we've lived under is for 2,000 years, roughly, from Rome, basically designed out of the Vatican and the Queen of England. It's over. It's coming to a bloody end, and money is not going to mean anything. It's going to go back to mom and pop's short stores, the people that save stuff. Well, I need mason jars. Well, they're not going to take your silver coin, because what the heck are they going to do with it? They need something to pass off to the next customer, i.e. food, tobacco, a pint of vodka, commodities.
You know the way I see it, guys?
What's that?
The way I see it, it'll go one of two ways. It'll either turn into barter town, like Beyond Thunderdome. I think it was the Mel Gibson movie,
mm-hmm.
Thunderdome, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Or they'll just decide that, and I've mentioned this before on the air, if debt, interest, all of it can be created with the stroke of a pen. When you can create money that doesn't even really physically exist, why couldn't everybody just hit the reset button like Iceland did and just say, no, we're not doing this. We're just going to, the debt's gone. It's erased. We're hitting the reset button. We're starting at zero. Here we go. And their operation didn't skip a beat.
Oh, they will do that, but it won't be in the near term. It's going to be chaos and bartering, just like you said, the barter system. In the near term, and eventually things will reconfigure, if you will, you know, and people like Dan will be hired in as sheriff or mayor, and things will go back to whatever normal. I mean, what we should be, I should say, you know, just love each other. I mean, and until we learn how to love each other again, I'm not trying to be all like hippie 1960s. It all boils down to that. And I do love you, John, and I do love you, Dan. I mean, I really do. I'd give my life for you, and I would without even thinking about it. And until we get back to that mentality, nothing else is even relevant, in my opinion.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, I understand why you qualified it with the mention about the hippie thing. It's like I didn't realize what a hippie I was. But really, the only thing that's really important in your life are the people in it. And how and what and how you are to each other. That's really pretty much it. I mean, after you've had everything that you can possibly have, you've had the motorcycles and the cars and the planes and the mountaintop lodges and homes and everything else. I mean, how empty.
There's nothing wrong with that stuff.
No, there's, but if it becomes your God and that's the thing that you worship, it's pretty thin at the end of the line.
Right. I mean, have beautiful things in your life. There's nothing wrong with that. I have a lot in my life. I've been so fortunate, but I give out so much every day, not because I have to, not because I necessarily want to. It's just something I do by nature. I don't even think about it. I meet people on the street every day, young people. They don't have, you know, they smoke. They don't have cigarettes. They don't have money. They need gas. I give it to them. I don't even think twice about it. And when we all go back to doing that, when the fortunate can help the less fortunate, I guess I'm saying, it'll spread the wealth, but not doing it in a way Obama's trying to do it, you know.
Well, you know, he's not the only one who's tried it. I mean, I don't know where he came from, why he's here. I mean, a lot of people really like him, and a lot of people really don't like him. But in any case, it looks to me like the agenda moves forward regardless of who's in office. I hate to just...
You're right. He's not in power.
No, he's not. Not really.
No, he's a puppet. And Bush was a puppet. He has an IQ, like room temperature, Bush. And... these are puppets, and they work for Brzezinski and Kissinger and Rockefeller. They take orders from them, and if they screw up, well, just, you know, go look at the Kennedy tapes and see what happens.
Exactly. Listen, I hate to pull the cord on this train, but you know what? We are just smooth out of time. It has been an absolute delight to visit with you two tonight, and I hope that you will stay in touch with us and that you will come back in the future.
Okay, well, God bless you, buddy, and you're one of my big heroes. I love George Norrie, but I like your voice better.
Oh, bless your heart. Let's hope George is having a drink somewhere now. Listen, thanks, guys. That was the dynamic horsepower duo, Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller. Their website, peopleagainstndaa.com. All right, part two of the Zombie Jombie weekend tomorrow night. It's Agenda 21. As Jack Lord used to say, be here. Aloha.